Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, January the 25th. In case you heard a promotional announcement yesterday afternoon saying that we would be talking this hour about the economic stimulus package that was agreed to by congressional leaders and the White House yesterday, we will not be doing that this hour. We will be doing that as we start off our week in review in our next hour. So, starting off our 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk about that economic stimulus package and those tax rebate checks that are almost in the mail to us. And Ben Marins this afternoon will be talking with Ron Kind, who is Wisconsin's congressional representative for the 3rd Congressional District. He'll be on with Ben Marins after 5 o'clock this afternoon to talk about that economic stimulus package and other issues before Congress. This hour, instead, we will follow up on a listener suggestion from my open line on Wednesday. A listener wanted a program with a state legislator who is proposing legislation that would bar local communities in Wisconsin from drafting ordinances that dictate where registered sex offenders can or cannot live. A host of cities and communities and villages in Wisconsin have passed or are considering the passage of a local ordinance that would prevent a registered sex offender from living within a certain distance of schools or parks or other places where kids might be. You can't live within 1,000 feet or 2,000 feet of all of these places, according to these ordinances. And it pretty much says that a registered sex offender can't live anywhere in a city or a populated area. Critics say this forces the registered sex offender to live in a less populated area, a rural area, say. And our guest legislator this hour says that's not fair to rural communities, says that these local ordinances dealing with sex offenders are meant to keep a sex offender out of a given city, and that's unfair to the rural parts of the state where the sex offender might have to end up. We wonder what you think, what questions you have. Should a city be able to keep a registered sex offender from living near places where kids congregate? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Don Frisky, Republican State Representative from Merrill and author of Assembly Bill 702. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Why did you author this bill?
Well, for the reasons that you outlined. You did a nice job at explaining the bill and the reasons behind it. And just so your listeners know, we're not talking about sex predators, the what we call in Wisconsin the Chapter 980s. They're covered by Jessica's law, and they're covered. I mean, obviously the preference is they should stay in jail. What we're talking about is anyone who's on the sex offender registry. And you can be on the registry for a host of reasons, whether it's a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. I mean, in Wisconsin, you can actually be put on a sex offender registry if you entice a teenager into the back room to smoke dope or drink beer, which to me doesn't make any sense, and we're trying to clean that kind of stuff up. The reason that I authored this is I come from a rural district. I come from a district where the two largest population centers in my district are about 10,000 people. And I mean, my home county, which I represent, the complete county of Lincoln, is only 29,000 people. When you're talking about other major metropolitan areas and you start drawing circles around areas, and who can really argue? I don't think you can argue with the fact that, okay, you know, we don't want to place a sex offender within so many feet of a school or a daycare center or a shopping mall or a public swimming pool, and the list can go on and on, because there's a significant number of places where either kids congregate or families choose to recreate. I don't know how you can say no to that. The problem is that if you look at the map, when you start drawing all those circles, the urban areas, you can't place anybody on the sex offender registry, and so they all get put into the rural areas, which is my district. So there is some... I am somewhat parochial. I'm somewhat representing my district, but I'm also getting a lot of support from townships, from other legislators who represent rural districts as well and say enough is enough.
Yeah. Well, just talk a little bit on what's wrong with a registered sex offender having nowhere else to live but a less populated area. Maybe it would be safer for the registered sex offender to be living in a less populated area.
Well, it may or may not be safer, but whether it's safer for the offender is mm-hmm. not my concern. I'm not concerned about the housing situation or the residency situation for the offender.
No, I know. I wasn't talking about the offender either, but maybe there are fewer children in a less populated area.
Well, there may be. I think that's anecdotally you can say, yeah, there's less children per square mile, but I don't know that there's as much supervision either. I think so. When you give up something, and by that I mean an urban setting, you certainly don't have as many adult eyes watching what's going on in the neighborhood either. And rural kids tend to be riding their bike down a dirt road and walking down to the local fishing hole or mm-hmm. You know, going out and take care of the farm animals. And I don't know that they deserve an increased risk simply because an urban population doesn't want any risk at all.
We are talking with State Representative Don Friske about his bill, which would require, it wouldn't require sex offenders to go back to their home community, but it would, in essence, tell local communities around Wisconsin, you can't pass ordinances that restrict sex offenders from living in your community. These ordinances that many communities have passed would, end up requiring sex offenders to live in less populated areas or rural areas. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your questions for our guest. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, January the 25th. Coming up this afternoon, after 4, it's your views on the news. Ben and his guest political scientist will take a look back at the news of the week, and we will review the news of the week from the state of the state to the state of the world coming up after 8 o'clock this morning in our regular Friday Week in Review. Right now, we're talking with Don Friske, a Republican state representative from Merrill and author of Assembly Bill 702, which prohibits local communities in Wisconsin from regulating the placement of sex offenders. And I read a couple of different articles on this, Representative Friske, and I'm a little confused. Is there a portion of your bill that would require the sex offender to go back to his or her, mainly his, home community?
No, but current law states that the Department of Corrections must place that sex offender back into the county of origin.
Okay.
And my bill would just simply maintain current law. So the Department of Corrections would still have to go through the community notifications, the community meetings, a placement back into the county of origin. Now, as I understand it, we're going to have a hearing on this bill coming up, I want to say in February, like the 21st or something like that. Mm-hmm. The notice went out yesterday. But as I understand it, there's going to be an amendment attempted to be placed on the bill that will require in the county that has a city of the first class that the sex offender must go back to that city. And it's not unusual for bills to either be amended or worded in a way that affects Milwaukee specifically, since that's the only city of the first class that we have in the state.
Ah, okay. And the whole point, though, of your legislation is that to communities like Milwaukee and I read here Green Bay passed one of these local residency ordinances, and in essence, more than 90% of the city is off limits to sex offenders.
And that's the problem. The problem is that when you start to select and portion out, we could put in, okay, what if I put in and I created an exclusionary that said, if you don't have more than one law enforcement officer per 5,000 people per capita, you can't place any registered sex offenders in that community.
Mm-hmm.
You could manipulate that if you were law enforcement agencies and make sure that there was no more than one law enforcement officer per 5,000, or you would be able to isolate certain communities and say, okay, that's a safe community, this isn't. That's safe, this isn't. And you really, I think you put people in situations where simply because of where they live, now they at least they perceive they're going to have an increased number or an unreasonably increased number of sex offenders living in their neighborhood because somebody else said we don't want to take care of those that came from our community.
We have lots of callers who want to talk with you, so let's go to Patrick in Milwaukee first. Hi, Patrick.
Hi. I also oppose this idea that you can prevent sex offenders from committing sex offenses by keeping them away from places where children congregate, but mainly because I think the whole argument is specious. I mean, sex offenders have freedom of movement. It's not like they don't know where kids are, so you can't actually prevent any of this by forcing them to live somewhere else. I don't see how where they reside has any effect over where they, where they might go to commit sex offenses. So I guess I would like to see someone who also opposes these kinds of ordinances to take more of that tack and say, you know, these ideas, the idea that you can do this is specious. It's just an excuse for politicians to grandstand and act like they're taking a hard line on crime and on sex abuse, when in reality, I think the whole thing is just absurd.
Mm-hmm. A reaction to that, Representative Friske?
Well, I think though there is some false sense of security with these exclusionary mm-hmm. zones, and there's some false sense of security if you say, well, you have to have a certain colored license plate, and you can't go near parks, and you have to stay 250 feet away from the ice cream shop. I think parents may feel like they can just go ahead and allow their kids to go to those places and not have to be supervised because there's a rule that says predators or whoever can't go there. That's not going to keep them away. So I think that sense of security is false in that sense. But there are reports out there that say that it doesn't. Some of that stuff just doesn't work as far as recidivism rates. But the point of this bill, doesn't deal with the recidivism rates. It just deals with the fact that one community shouldn't be pitted against another community when it comes to that type of placement.
Thank you, Patrick. Andrea in Lancaster. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'll try to be brief here. I think that this is good legislation, and thank you. I'm thinking of two cases in particular. There are the sex offender registry, and who is required to register is just so inconsistent, and it's almost violative of due process because judges, I think, have way too much discretion in who's allowed, who's required to register, and who isn't. And there are two cases in particular I'm thinking of. One involved three boys, 14, 15, and 16, all young gay men having sex with each other. You know, they were boyfriends. And it all came out when my client was 17, so of course he was charged as an adult mm-hmm. with all these felonies, and he was required to register. He's not a predator. He was just a gay teenager having sex with his boyfriends. And that was in Crawford County. Then I recently had a Grant County case where there was a man in his 20s who was convicted of having sex with a number of underage girls, and he wasn't required to register. Now, when I look at who's probably more likely to reoffend, it's the unregistered guy. And then the other thing, too, is when we look at familial sex offenders, you know, they often don't confine themselves just to family members, but it's the familial sex offenders who quite often intimidate their victims, and they don't get prosecuted, and that's why, you know, we have civil lawsuits years later. We're trying to open that up for civil lawsuits years later because somehow the victims are going to need redress. And so here we have this huge class of sex offenders who get away with it and aren't required to register and don't have any prohibitions mm-hmm. on where they can live. And so I think that the proposed legislation is very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, and I appreciate that. And the sex offender registry and how you get placed on it and whether the content is actually doing what we wanted it to do when it was first initiated. And Greg Huber who's now a judge in Marathon County, who was a legislator and did a lot of work initially in drafting it. It was well-intended, and I've talked with him many times on what the intent was for this registry, and hopefully we can get back to that.
Thanks, Andrea. Tim in Richland Center is with us now. Hi, Tim.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for your legislation. I am concerned of small towns of kind of a Mayberry mentality and urban offenders being farmed out to small communities because the urban areas don't want them. And
right.
I think we live in small towns where people still don't lock their doors and still have keys in their cars.
Yeah.
And I don't think people are many of the people in small towns aren't aware of the risks that they face. When I look at our area, I know that at one point I figured that for a town of 5,000 we had around 50 in the area, and I just it's becoming for some folks a cottage industry to take these people to have the facility or whatever. But
so Tim, you think that there are a lot of registered sex offenders in your area because they're being prohibited from living in other cities?
You look at the list, yeah, and you see where they're from, and you see what their offense was, and you can go online and do that, and you find that there are a lot that never were from a rural small town area, but from an urban Kenosha, Milwaukee area. And I think there's a naivete in the rural area that puts maybe some people at risk.
Yeah, and some of those are freedom of movement where an individual is allowed, or there's simply the registry doesn't restrict the fact that they move from one town to another. And again, that's an issue that's outside the scope of this bill. But sometimes I think is the registry itself is another issue that I think we need to address. Is it doing what law enforcement has expected? Is it doing what the courts want? Does it achieve what the neighborhood, what a person in a neighborhood watch group would expect? And that is, if you go on, you can see that an individual who may pose a risk to the community, not someone who, had a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, in high school.
Yeah. There's someone from Green Bay who supports the Green Bay local ordinance.
Sure.
Brad Hopp, and I see that in the paper he's quoted as saying, "You're seeing these ordinances put in place as a way for municipalities to protect their citizenry. I think the assemblyman would be better served to focus his energies on making up for the shortcomings of the Department of Corrections, et cetera, et cetera." what about the local community wants to protect its citizenry, and it's none of your beeswax?
Well, no, I certainly appreciate their position, and I understand that. I really do, because as you pointed out earlier in the mm-hmm. program, 90% of Green Bay now mm-hmm. you can't place a sex offender. Well, where does that mean? That means Ashwaubenon.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean Nina, Menasha, Oshkosh? Does it mean every other surrounding community is required to take those from Green Bay now? I don't know that a local city council or a local county board should have the authority to impose that type of obligation onto their neighbor.
Let's check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Don Frisky, Republican state representative from Maryland, author of a bill in the state legislature that prohibits local communities from sex offender restrictions. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Friday, January the 25th. It's 7:36. We are talking with a state legislator, Don Frisky, a Republican state representative from Merrill, who is author of Assembly Bill 702. The bill is scheduled to get a hearing in February. This bill would tell municipalities around Wisconsin that they cannot block where registered sex offenders can live. There are a lot of cities that have already passed or are considering ordinances that would block registered sex offenders from living a certain distance, usually 1,000 or 2,000 feet, from places where children congregate. So no sex offenders are allowed to live near schools or parks or pools or movie theaters. And critics of these ordinances say, among other things, that will make most of an urban area or a community off limits to registered sex offenders, meaning that registered sex offender lives outside of the municipality and maybe smaller towns in rural areas. And our guest says that's not fair to those smaller towns and rural areas. We welcome your thoughts and questions for him. And our next caller is Jay, who is listening online from Indianapolis. Hi, Jay. You're on the air.
How are you?
Good.
I guess I wanted to thank the guest and yourself for this topic. And I would say that I would agree with the guest that this type of registration is forcing offenders to move to either certain sections of urban areas or rural areas. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a little bit deeper, and there's a little more to it than just what meets the eye. I believe that these rural areas and certain very low socioeconomic areas where offenders have to move to have less opportunity of employment, of transportation, and counseling services. Mm-hmm. And it causes, you know, many problems that the general public doesn't see. So I guess that those are some areas that aren't pointed out and that are kind of issues that are behind what's, you know, that we don't see right up forefront.
Yeah, Jay, my producer tells me you have your own story. You have experience with these restrictions on
right,
sex offenders.
Right. I'm a registered sex offender.
Mm-hmm.
And at this present time, my case was not against small children. It was an older teenage female. I am still married. I have children. And me and my family, my close family, my nuclear family, and my extended family have to deal with these restrictions all the time. I did hear some other callers say that it gives a false sense of security to the public, and it does. I think sex offenders in general are all grouped together, that they're all, you know, jumping out of the bushes after children, which obviously is not the case. I do have personal, you know, experience with this myself. Plus, in counseling sessions, many of the other gentlemen that we go to group therapy with deal with problems of employment and problems of living in neighborhoods where they can't get jobs because they can't move here, they can't move there. We all know to not reoffend, a person needs to be employed. They need to have counseling. They need to have support. And these type of rules are limiting those opportunities of therapy, which is the real reason why people will not reoffend. Instead of, you know, the being on a registry is not really going to help the recidivism rate much.
Well, Jay, I appreciate your call and sharing your experience. Well, what about that, Representative Frisky? You're also concerned about the treatment or opportunities for someone if they have to live in a rural area or a certain neighborhood in an urban area.
Well, we're a pretty mobile society, so the ability to receive treatment, I think, would be based on whether or not the person that's either court ordered or personally decides that they need treatment would be able to get there. The bill doesn't address that, although those are issues that certainly at some point the legislature will probably need to address. The bill just really deals with the geographic placement and have it done more in a statewide rather than pitting local communities against each other, whether it be county against county or town against town.
Mm-hmm.
I think and just to clarify, and we did this earlier in the show, but there is a difference, and this caller mentioned it, between those that are predators that seek to manipulate situations that allow them to offend. And by that I mean an individual who will manipulate certain settings in order to get children or the potential victim into a one-on-one setting where they can be dominant and then they can offend. That predator is covered by laws that we passed already in this state. We call it Chapter 980 because that's a statutory number, so we call them 980s. But they're really predators that are covered by either Jessica's law or Amy's law, which I wrote. And just so folks know, my background is I spent 16 years in law enforcement before I became a legislator, and so I come at it from that point of view, one of community safety, And then you certainly need to look at those constitutional rights that individuals have. But this bill deals more with the community safety issue.
Thanks to Jay for the call. Melva in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'd just like to say that I agree with this, and that I also agree with what the other folks have said about that when they go to the smaller towns, they have less opportunities for jobs and stuff. But the part that worries me most is that in smaller towns, because there are fewer children, there's a larger chance of children being hurt. A family member lives in Beaver Dam, and I went online one day to see what the sex offender rate was there, and there were 43 sex offenders within two and a half miles of their home, and they have a 10-year-old daughter. I told them about this, and they were totally shocked, because you do have a false sense of security in a small town like Beaver Dam. Of course, they've now warned her to be extra careful of talking to strangers and stuff, but one of the sex offenders lived within two blocks of their house, and I mean, that's terrible. And we just really need some legislation to protect the smaller towns. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that concern. I think for most folks, if they actually went into their local, if they knew the amount of reported offenses in their local community, would be shocked at the sheer number. But I think that goes back to the registry again. I mean, to just simply say, okay, well, there's 42 that live in a certain area. Okay, well, what were those offenses? And is there really an elevated risk factor based on those offenses? There's and there may or may not be, depending on the crime that they committed. But again, this bill doesn't deal with that. Although I do believe that law enforcement, the judicial system, and the legislature need to sit down and talk about the registry, what it does, what it was supposed to do, and is it achieving the goal? But that would be a topic for another show.
Yeah. Well, why not leave things alone? Representative Friske, and then Beaver Dam and Richland Center and Merrill, for that matter, can adopt their own restrictions on where registered sex offenders could live.
Well, and we could. Mm-hmm. I mean, Merrill is known as the city of parks. I can tell you that if we draw circles in the city of Merrill, mm-hmm. We're simply not going to have any placement in the city of Merrill, which will increase the amount of placement in the city of Tomahawk and the village of Gleason, the town of Corning, and the town of Parrish, all within my district. I can mm-hmm. tell you that I spent a lot of years patrolling that area, and if you get through some of those communities on an eight-hour shift, if you get through there, once a shift with a squad car, that may be, unless you're called there, that may be the only time that you get there. So you're asking for us to move those individuals that have in some of your callers' tenor, I can hear that it's elevated their concern level. Mm-hmm. So you move those individuals by ordinance now into areas where they have little or no supervision. So even though someone isn't within 500 feet of where you're at, 2,500 feet, given the mobility of today's environment, isn't significantly different, except for the fact that that person now is not supervised at all and has little thought in the back of their mind that, you know what, the squad car could be right around the corner.
Our guest legislator this hour, Don Friske, a Republican from Merrill, says that a lot of communities, local municipalities, are adopting ordinances dealing with sex offenders and where the sex offender can live, and that these ordinances are meant to keep sex offenders out of any given city. And that's unfair to communities in more rural parts of the state, and we welcome your thoughts and questions on this. Should a city be able to keep registered sex offenders from living near places where kids congregate, even if the local ordinance, in essence, bars a sex offender from living within the city limits? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Friday, January the 25th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's the Week in Review. From the state of the state to the state of the world, I'll talk with two guests from different perspectives about the big political news of this past week. The Week in Review after 8 o'clock, every Friday in our 8 o'clock hour. We're talking right now with Don Frisky, a Republican state representative from Merrill, who has proposed a bill that would stop local communities from passing ordinances that restrict where sex offenders can live. Registered sex offenders, lots of communities say that they can't live within 1,000 feet of pools or parks or schools or other places where children congregate. And these limitations, Representative Frisky say, are really unfair to less populated areas of the state or rural areas of the state, telling sex offenders, you can't live in my city, so you know, go live in the country. His bill would stop cities from being able to pass these types of ordinances. Julian Muskego is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi, Julian.
Some people have been put on that list unfairly and should not be made to live away from the support of family. I support the new proposed law, and it should be passed because it is more fair to have one state law. And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Yeah.
Well, I would agree that it's much better to do this at the state level. And as difficult as it is, I'll tell you, nothing will fill a school auditorium more or a local convention center more than to have a public hearing on the placement of a sex offender.
Yeah.
I've been to some of those in my capacity as a law enforcement officer, and I've been to some of those in my capacity as a legislator. And it is certainly an emotional debate. The one thing that is constant, at least so far in my community, is that you're talking about an individual who came from that community. So yeah, the vast majority of people either are familiar with the family, familiar with that person, or at least familiar with the surroundings where that person will be placed. The problem is that if you get someone from outside the community that is placed in your community, the background information on that individual is not available, and local residents don't know who that person is. And I think that raises the level of anxiety, and it also creates a lot of anger in the community. If we have to take care of our own, I guess, for lack of a better description, so be it, as difficult as that may be. But to take care of some other communities, basically a discard from Green Bay because they no longer want that individual, I think that would be unfair on my local communities.
So your bill would tell all of the communities that have adopted these ordinances. Do you know how many? I mean, it looks like there's more than a handful here that have
done this. Yeah, and that was, you originally asked me, I think your first question is, you know, why draft the bill?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it was one or two communities, you know, you'd say, okay, well, that, you know, there's somebody on that city council or whatever who was using this as for either really felt deeply about this or I think to use it for some political gain. Either way, they felt this was a good idea and they passed it. I don't know how you would vote against it. I really don't know how you would, on a city council point of view, mm-hmm. how you could vote against, you know, these so-called exclusionary zones. The problem is that when I looked at how many communities were considering these type of ordinances, a lot of them were in reaction to a neighboring city passing this ordinance. Well, it will continue to fall in a domino type effect, and basically what you do, and I've seen the map. I've asked Department of Corrections to draw the map, give me a map with the circles around it, and it really does exclude the urban environment and place increased pressure and placement in rural environments, and I didn't think that was reasonable. And the Department of Corrections has the map. People can see it.
Yeah. And your bill would then, what, preempt and tell those?
It would preempt them, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it would say, you know, you can't enforce that ordinance. The Department of Corrections in the state would be required, and they're still required to notify communities. All the bulletins would still be in place.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is in place where the community is notified if they have someone who that the community feels may be a risk. Those things are all in place. It just simply says that Department of Corrections has to work with the local community rather than the community just passing a blanket ordinance.
Yeah. Next we go to Maddie in Madison. Hi, Maddie.
Oh, good morning. I'd like to congratulate the gentleman for having the courage to stand up, you know, and look critically at this bill. Up to this point, I think most legislatures have simply stood back and, as he said, was simply could not vote against it. I think it's a very ridiculous law, and it simply, to me, is the modern version of Hawthorne's red letter stamping these people. And as he says, the registry does not actually reflect, in all cases, the true nature of the cases. I know a number of people on the, you know, I've been in some of these involved in some of these support groups, and I know numerous people on that registry who do not deserve this treatment in any way, shape, or form. You know, if you tickled a child 20 years ago, you could be a sex offender. I know they're a little tighter now because they know the results, but it is just horrendous.
Yeah, all right. So it sounds like most of our callers, Representative Frisky, are saying that this the sex offender registry program itself is very flawed.
Well, I think I've been careful in my in my answers in saying that the registry is another issue. I don't disagree with the premise that the registry has some problems. And I think I don't think there's a district attorney or a judge out there that wants to err on the wrong side of putting someone on the registry or not. But there are cases, I think, where an average citizen would say, "Well, that person is not a threat," and the registry was designed to, I think, notify or at least provide public access to information where you can, as a parent, you can gauge whether or not that threat actually exists or there's an increased risk for your children and provide, you know, direction or counsel to your kids on how to behave or where to go and when not to go. The registry, I think, has some issues there, and they need to be addressed. I knew this bill would be somewhat controversial, but I believe that that really we need a statewide policy. And you know, if we were looking at it federally and we had federal legislators that outnumbered the amount of legislators in Wisconsin, in Minnesota, Michigan, and Illinois. And federally, they passed these exclusionary zones in these states with certain populations or certain criteria and moved them all federally into Wisconsin, where there'd be a huge outcry.
Mm-hmm.
And this is no different. And I think that we need to make sure that we, as difficult as it is, that we approach the subject with the sense that we are going to provide the same security and protection for all the citizens of the state and do it in a manner that that we can all live with.
Kay in Manitowoc County. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'm a former Lincoln County resident, even. wanted to comment on the difficulty to place individuals who are coming out of the prisons, and I had some experience in doing this in my employment history, and it's very difficult. And if you put everyone in the rural areas, mobility becomes such a factor. I can't imagine being a probation and parole officer trying to make sure that everyone is getting to treatment, and then how do you get them to their jobs, and all that becomes a factor in recidivism. I also think that parents and communities, and particularly in Brown County where they're making all of these rules, and I've watched this so closely, they need to be looking out their windows. They need to be, and we all know this, but I don't think we can stress it enough. You know, YouTube and different things. Are there kids on there? There are so many ways that potential violators can be accessing our children, and we need to be the eyes and the ears and the protectors of our children as much as the laws. We can't just rely on legislation. And by what you're proposing, Donnie, I think it's great. I think it's going to keep things more of an even playing field, and I hope that parents become, and everyone, parents are just neighbors, become better at watching what's going on out there.
And Kay called you Donnie. Maybe she knows you.
Yeah, people that I grew up with tend to use the name Donnie. Yeah, well, I appreciate it, and I do appreciate the the support. But you're right. There should be, and I hate to phrase it a level playing field, but I think communities should be treated equally and should be kept on a level footing. And Merrill and Tomahawk need to work together in Lincoln County, Antigo, Elko, and Langley County. I mean, we need to understand that if someone poses an increased risk, that as parents, we need. I really think our kids make good decisions if you keep them informed. If you give them the information necessary to make good decisions, overall, they will make good, sound judgment decisions to the best of their ability. Anyway. Not that they won't find ways to get in trouble. I've raised three boys, and I'm certainly well aware of the fact that kids can get into trouble. But as parents, we need to keep them informed, and they'll make good decisions.
Well, I'm a former Marathon County resident, by the way.
So oh, Wausau, super. Wausau. Yeah.
But in any case, less than 30 seconds, you have a hearing for your bill coming up in February.
Yes, the hearing will be in the Judiciary Committee, mm-hmm. which is now chaired by Representative Scott Souter, because the chair, Mark Gundrum, is serving his country over in Iraq. Mm. And I expect that the hearing will be a lively one.
Yeah, and we'll keep in touch. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Republican State Representative from Merrill, Don Frisky. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.